Hi everyone, this is a video from Northside Bible Chapel's service on March 29th. We recorded it using the Zoom app. It went out live, and so we had a few struggles along the way, and one of those was that I didn't get the first part of Jim Comp's message recorded, but we got most of it, so we pray that this will be a blessing to you. Thanks.
It will make people think. Let me just read to you a few verses from this delightful psalm. Verse 1 and 2 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust." And then verse 4 says, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge." Did you notice the three personal pronouns? He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. And then he adds these words, "In him I will trust." Is he yours? Is he your refuge? Is he your God? Trust him today. And he truly will be. Please note that this is one of the Psalms of Moses, and it was written during the 40 long and arduous years of Israel's journey through the wilderness. They faced many snares and problems, unseen enemies and pestilences. Moses, the great man of God, encourages the people with these precious words of divine inspiration, Psalm 91. And in these days, we too need hope. And just as Moses gave hope to the nation of Israel, so there is hope for you and me today. This hope is found in Christ and the Word of God. Now let me say, when the Bible mentions hope, it is never used in the sense that we use the word hope. You might say, "I hope to go on an African safari. It's on my bucket list. And one day I hope to do that." But hope in Scripture is not like a hope on our bucket list, a wish for the future. But hope in God's Word is an absolute certainty, since it is based on absolute facts, the promise of God's Word, and the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is your hope for eternity resting upon? If you're not trusting Christ, the only Savior of sinners, then really you have no hope. But there is a definite and a sure hope in a hopeless world. In 1 Peter, Peter was writing to lonely and beleaguered Christians. They too were struggling in the trials and problems and discouragements of life. And in verse 1 of chapter 1, he said, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." Now you'll notice that Peter addresses these Christians as pilgrims. Well, what is a pilgrim? A pilgrim is someone who is a temporary resident, a stranger, an alien. And this is true, or was true, of these believers. They were scattered in small pockets throughout Asia Minor. They were unwelcome. They were going through difficult days. And when the postman arrived with Peter's letter, it would indeed have brought inspiration and hope to these believers. Take time to read 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9. But in verse 3, Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." What assurance Peter gives to those isolated and lonely believers. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This was not wishful thinking or a vague hope that everything was going to turn out all right in the end. They had a definite and certain assurance that their future was glorious, no matter the circumstances of their life. this was a blessed assurance to weary hearts. You see, the resurrection of Christ was God's great amen to the finished work of Christ on the cross. F.B. Meyer wrote, "The living hope is the link between our present and our future. In these present and uncertain times, my hope is resting on a solid and logical fact, the resurrection. No matter what the future holds, I have a certain hope because of Christ's death and resurrection for me. I have a guarantee that I too will be raised and will be with the Lord throughout eternity. The question is, do you?" This prospect shines ever more brightly in this dark and dismal world, but the living hope also assures us of the inheritance that awaits us. In verse 4, Peter writes, "To an inheritance incorruptible or imperishable and undefiled and that does not fade away." Now listen to this. He adds, "reserved in heaven for you." It doesn't get any better than that, does it? You see, if you know Christ as your Savior, then you have an inheritance. And notice, it's reserved in heaven for you. But it does get better, because the inheritance that is reserved for us is imperishable. That is, it won't spoil over time. Then he adds another word. It's undefiled. That is, it will never tarnish. And then he adds another word again, and it will never fade away. Its beauty will never diminish. Everything around us is changing, but the inheritance that is reserved in heaven for you will never change, never perish, never tarnish, and never diminish in its beauty. Peter assures him of this certainty, reserved in heaven for you. You have maybe been on the list for someone's inheritance. Maybe an aunt, an uncle died, and they had promised you many years before that you were in their inheritance, and when they died that you would get it. But when the inheritance was read, the will was read, you found your name wasn't there. You see, inheritance that are earthly are uncertain at the best. Promises made may be promises broken. Wills can be changed, and inheritance can be spent. There may be loopholes or technicalities that can be found, making the will invalid. But this is reserved in heaven for you. Nothing and no one can take it from you. It is kept safe in heaven's vault. Then he adds another thing. He says, "who are kept by the power of God." And so during uncertain and difficult days, we are being kept. What a wonderful blessing and assurance. We have a great future. Never forget it. But not only is your inheritance reserved, but you are kept by the power of God. The word "kept" literally means to build a fortress around. No matter how dismal and dark the days may be, he's got a fortress. He cares for you. And that's why he ensures us to cast all our care upon him, for he cares for you. Then he adds the word "power." And it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. This is the power that will keep us along our earthly journey, no matter how many of life's tsunamis we may come or may come our way. Be assured, in every situation in life, we are kept and we are being kept. But listen to this. Peter in verses 6-8 writes, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while," literally it's for a passing moment, a fleeting shadow. Then he adds three little words, "if need be," or "if it must be." Sometimes we feel the problems won't go away. And perhaps you're feeling this with about the COVID-19 virus today. We wonder, will it really go away? Will it just be covered over for a while and reassert its head again around the globe? Well, Peter further writes to these believers, you have been grieved by various trials. And these Christians were being grieved by various trials. But he speaks of the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, or when the Lord Jesus comes again. And then he has these precious words, whom having not seen, you love. But I just love three little words in these verses. If need be. And there is a need be in all of our lives. This is a need be in the life of the believer. And in the need be's of our lives that we don't understand or really wish or want, there are lessons to be learned. And although at times we may not understand, we simply must rest in the Savior. He loves, he cares, and provides all things of your life and mine. These Christians, what did they do? They greatly rejoiced during their trials. But why? They had a living hope that Jesus would one day come again. We have a certain hope in a world that's offering no hope. This is one of the great paradoxes of Christianity, that there is joy amid the sorrows of life. This is one of the need be's in our lives today, COVID-19. Many years ago, a submarine sank off the coast of Massachusetts. As soon as possible, divers descended into the disabled ship, endeavoring to find signs of life. One diver heard a gentle tapping. Listening intently, he recorded the dots and dashes of the Morse code. The message was, is there hope? This is the constant cry of millions everywhere. Is there hope? The world seems to be teetering on the brink of a worldwide disaster. In your personal life, the enemy of fear may be encircling you as the problems of life overwhelm you. I can remember as a boy growing up in Montreal, I was given a Bible text that I hung on my wall, a Bible verse that I hung on my wall. I assume it was given to me by one of my Sunday school teachers. And the verse read, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in you." Psalm 56:3. I don't know whatever happened to that verse over the years. Of course, I married and we've moved from place to place, but I no longer had that verse until several years ago when I was speaking at Greenwood Hills Bible Conference grounds in Pennsylvania. In one of my messages, I quoted the verse and I mentioned how I once had it, but I had it no longer. Well, a few nights later, a young lady came to the meeting with that same text beautifully painted on slate and gave it to me. I was thrilled to receive it. And today it hangs in our bedroom. And when my wife and I lie in bed, we can see it on the wall. Well, I shared this story with a dear lady, Grace Reinhardt, who is now in heaven. And I'll never forget what she said. She said, "Jim, I know a better verse than that." I looked at her and I said, "You do, Grace? What is it?" She smiled and said, Isaiah 12:2. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." What a precious promise from God in these distressing times. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the believer in the Lord Jesus, we have a glorious hope as we enter this Easter season. The one who died on the cross for your sins and mine rose victoriously on the third day. This is the indisputable truth of his resurrection. a living hope. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That's John 11, 25, 26, spoken by the Lord himself. Faith in the work of Christ at the cross and the triumph of his resurrection gives us a living hope. Too often we place our hopes in the wrong things and the wrong peoples. The Lord Jesus is the only hope for desperate times. Is there hope? Was the Morse code message. Yes, there's hope. And if you've never come to the Savior, right now I invite you to come. Confess your sin. Turn to him. Seek his forgiveness. Invite him to come into your heart and life. And he will. And no matter how dark the days may yet be, there is hope. Yes, you can have that living and that eternal hope that's found alone in Christ. Desperate times, yes. But a glorious future awaits those who belong to Jesus Christ. Dear believer, take hope and cling to him who loves you and cares for you. Dear friend, if you've never trusted the Savior, take a moment to bow your heart and soul and receive him as your Savior right now. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you for the hope that we have, a living hope in a living Savior. We pray to encourage each one of our hearts this morning. And Lord, throughout this time that we find so difficult, being isolated from family and friends and from the various activities and church services, we pray to encourage our hearts. We ask, Lord, to bless the words that have been spoken. And bless those who are in authority seeking to do the very best for us. Give them the needed wisdom and grace in these difficult days. And to all, just encourage our hearts, dear Lord. And we thank you again for the gift of all gifts, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening, and may the Lord richly bless you for his name's sake.